Hello, I'm George Flynn. Today we're in depth on TV with Terry Rowland. Terry is a county commissioner in Shelby County and a candidate for county mayor. He's a small business owner and passionate about Memphis and Shelby County. Today we're going to take an in-depth look at Terry's role in getting Donald Trump elected in Tennessee, and we'll have some insight into current happenings at the county level. We'll also take a look at Terry's role ahead as he embarks on a campaign for county mayor. Terry, thank you for being here today.
Doug, thank you for having us.
Terry, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Well, I grew up in Millington. We've been in business for 52 years there in Millington. We got had a convenience store, service station, then we spread out and we got a tire store now, an automotive center, and a swimming pool supply store. So we ventured out, and you know, what makes me so happy? My daddy started, he quit school when he was a very young age and started pushing an ice cream wagon around Millington. My mother, she picked cotton, you know, out in the fields, and they worked hard, and I was blessed to have great parents that that taught me business and how to be a man and how to just go through life's journey.
Right. And we're talking about the county commission. You're a county commissioner now.
Right.
And you've been chairman of the county commission.
Yes, sir.
You've been involved. There's been a lot of talk about the county board of commissioners about medical marijuana.
Right.
What do you think about medical marijuana? Do you want to legalize it? What's your position on this?
Doc, first thing I want to make sure that everybody knows that I'm not trying to legitimize cannabis or marijuana. I'm not trying to legalize it. I don't believe in these ordinances that local government's been trying to pass to decriminalize it. What I'm solely talking about is getting the people, and you're a doctor, you know, there are people out there that need this. I've got an aunt that's about 76 years old. She lives up in Drummond. She's got breast cancer. And if she hadn't, I mean, she has to go over to Arkansas to get it now. But if she didn't have this, she couldn't, I mean, just wouldn't have an appetite, pain. And coming from a military town, I've experienced a lot of PTSD with the boys coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq, and it's terrible. All I'm talking about is getting the medical portion of cannabis and marijuana to these people that really absolutely need it as part of their medicine.
And how does the Board of Commissioners have any purview over this? Do they?
Well, we don't really have a purview, but it's being debated up in the state now.
Okay.
And I'm over the legislative agenda, and some of the commissioners came to me, and the first thing they tried to pass an ordinance saying that we were going to legalize a half ounce of marijuana. I mean, to me, that's defeating your purpose, you know? I mean, you're just opening yourself up for bad things when you legalize the marijuana. Good thing about this great commission that we set on now, good people. We all actually like each other. Commissioner Schaefer and I, we have in-depth talks about these issues. She helps me with the legislative agenda. And this was a kind of a way of splitting the baby, but not only just splitting the baby, but doing something that was worthwhile, that really meant something. So that's the reason why we added it to our legislative agenda to support it up in Nashville.
So we, as county commissioners, the leaders in Shelby County, you tell the legislators how the leaders feel about the issue.
Absolutely.
Okay, now we understand that. Let's talk about de-annexation.
Mm-hmm.
You were on a task force dealing with de-annexation, and there's been a recent proposal that says if your area is about to be de-annexed and you don't like the time frame, that you can go ahead and vote and change that. I believe that's at the state level.
Right.
Didn't Senator Mark Norris introduce that?
Right.
And well, what was the process of de-annexation since you were on that task force? What did y'all go through? Was it just one meeting or was it meeting after meeting? That's what I'm trying to get at.
Right. It was several meetings.
Right.
And we looked, Mayor Strickland and Bill Morrison, the city councilman, they put this task force together. And the reason being because they had been folks going to Nashville trying to push the de-annexation bill.
Right.
Well, we tried to, again, as legislators, sit down and try to compromise, to come up with something that would be, you know, beneficial to everybody. The reason why the ones that were had the most egregious annexations was Southwind Windyke and South Cordova, especially Southwind, because they don't even get garbage pickup there. It's a gated community, you know. So we worked together and had several meetings, and these three areas, and I told the mayor, I said, "Mayor, if you want to get the folks that are in Nashville pitching at you," I said, "what you need to do is you need to think about this." And I had already done a preliminary study. And those three areas, it was costing the city $10 million over the revenue that they were taking in to service that area. So they were automatically off the bat losing $10 million a year. That's not good for the city. It was my thinking that if we can, you know, condense the city, shorten the footprint, the city could catch up. And when I say catch up, Doc, you know, for years, the city would get in financial trouble and they would try to annex herself out of financial trouble. And, you know, as a businessman, you can't do that. It doesn't work, because when you annex somebody, you're adding to the debt because you had to service them. So right. It's kind of a reverse of that. And if they would let those three areas out, Doc, and see, the good thing about it is it's just going to be a one-shot deal. So Memphis won't be battling this all the time. Right. But they would save the $10 million. They get to keep the commercial property tax. They get to keep the sales tax. So it's about a net $17 million a year that they would have to reinvest back into the city. They could take that and use TIFs like Nashville's doing, which doesn't cost the taxpayer anything, and completely reinvent or redo or remodel or whatever you want to call it, Memphis. And that gives people an incentive to stay. It gives people incentive to come back, and it gives you something to build on.
What happens now? Let's say these areas are de-annexed.
Right.
Does that expense fall to the county? What do we do about that?
That's the great thing, Doc. When those areas were annexed, the sheriff, actually, it hurt us when they annexed us.
Right.
Because of our fire fees. We lost those people paying into fire fees, so it brought the cost of the fire fees to the rest of the county up. See, if they de-annex them, it'll bring that back down, be more affordable, fire care. It'd be more people paying into the pot. And them saying that it's going to cost the county a lot of money is completely wrong, because the sheriff never did draw down those deputies when we lost the area. Actually, those deputies went into the schools when we had to take over the schools. Mm-hmm. Now, we might have to hire about 24, 25 sheriff's deputies, but that really is a really minor thing when it comes to that area and servicing that area. And the people, quite frankly, said that they're not getting anything out there. They very rarely ever see a policeman out there. And like I said, again, some of those people aren't even getting garbage pickup.
Now, do we have ambulance service?
Yes,
now?
Sir. We sure
okay.
do.
So that part's taken care
right.
of. So fire, police, ambulance.
That's right.
I mean, it sounds like a pretty good deal.
And here's the good. This is good timing, because there's no bonds issued, so there's no debt that those folks would have to pay back. I don't even think they paved the first road out there since they've taken it. So the city won't be out that either. But, you know, I get a lot of flack sometimes, people saying that I'm not for the city. They're absolutely wrong. I love the city of Memphis. And this is about making Memphis a better place. Now, think about it. If you've got that kind of money, that you can reinvest into the community. Right. It's just going to make the core city that much better.
Well, do you think that the city, or do you think the city should adjust the timing of the de-annexation, or do you think the people that are in the area should be able to adjust that, like they're trying to push through at the state?
Well, there's two areas of thought on there. And, you know, I was on the committee, and they come up with a two-year period. And I would agree to that to some extent. But here's your problem, Doc, and you know you were on the county commission, that it comes down to a vote of seven.
Right.
Okay. Well, what if they wait 2 years and then the city council don't vote for it? You know, so they have a legitimate gripe to go back up to Nashville now. Now, if Memphis is really set on doing this, which it helps Memphis again, then what they would do, they should go ahead and pass it and say it takes effect.
Right.
You know, now we can work this out, but if not, then we'll have to go to Nashville.
Okay. There's, you know, an idea of you running for office.
Right.
For Shelby County Mayor.
Yes, sir.
That's been announced.
Right.
What's your path? How do you see yourself being elected? Because if you're announced, you're assuming you're going to win.
Right.
How do you see that happening?
Doc, let me tell you, I didn't take this lightly.
How did you decide to run?
The people of Shelby County coming and asking me. You know, I always said this is not about me. Look, you know, I farm on the side. Of course, I got a business. But let me tell you, I love this county so much that I'm willing to sacrifice to do whatever I can to make it a better place. And I think that we have made inroads. You know, you got Republican and Democrat. Now, one of the things that I wish we could do is get rid of partisan politics in local offices. You know, and I know, there's no Republican or Democrat way of getting a road paved.
Right.
There's no Republican or Democrat way of counting money. Either you can count it or you can't, you know? And I think that's what kind of gives us the upper hand when it comes to running the county. The one thing that I bring to the table that none of the rest of the candidates do is that I come from the body. If you look back, some of the mayors that actually did better came from the body. And I'm not knocking Mayor Luttrell or any of them that didn't come from. When I say the body, I mean the county commission.
Right.
If you come from that county commission, you know how to work with them. And look, a lot of people don't understand. I understand. And that's the reason why I worked so hard when I was chairman, was to give the power back to the county commission. Because as far as the way I read the charter, the mayor is the administrator. He's supposed to administer what the county board puts forward.
Right.
Okay. I think this administration has kind of, that we got now, and like I said, I'm not cutting them down, but it's not about power. You know, it's about being able to work with people and to accomplish the goals that you set out to accomplish. And let me tell you, the black community, you know, when I was where I was raised, I was the only white kid.
Mm-hmm.
And the only color we saw, Doc, was green. And we didn't have none of it, you know? So, when you talk about the minorities and the African-American community, you know, I've lived there. You know, I've got folks in my family, you know? I mean, it's not a racial thing with me. I know how to talk to folks, and I think that's what sets us off different, is we talk to them like folks, like people. And so many politicians try to talk down to people. That's the reason why when I speak someplace, I go out of my way to try to be common sense, to talk to where people can understand, because I think that means more to them than anything in the world.
What do you see, so let's say you're elected,
mm-hmm.
What do you see the big challenges, or what's your platform to improve, or where would you go with things?
Well, first,
are you satisfied with the status quo?
No, I'm not satisfied with status quo. Some of it I am, some of it I ain't. Let's start with edge. Edge has to be restructured. Okay. And when I say restructured, the way it is now, you've got a board there and then you got the president. He doesn't have to answer to that board. He answers to both mayors. That's wrong. I would agree the mayor could appoint, county commission could confirm, but whoever is in that role should have to answer to that board.
Right.
And then the city councilman and the county commissioner that are on that board should be voting members. Because here's the thing, if you look at the law, only the city council and the county commission are the only two entities in Shelby County that can abate taxes. Which also leads me back into where I'm fixing to go. We have created corporate welfare when we talk about pilot stock. There's the three things that's killing the taxpayer. The first thing we've got to do is go down on property taxes to be competitive with these other counties around us. There's three or four things that's causing our property taxes to be so high. The state is one of the biggest things. Okay, let's take basic education. Okay, they pass a law saying that they're going to fully fund the BEP, but they only send 60% of it down here to us. Well, we're an ad valorem county. The only way we have of making that up is on the back of the taxpayers in the form of property tax, which is wrong. So we're subsidizing the state, the DA's office, we're subsidizing that to about 40%, and the pilots. That's why I keep talking about TIFs. A TIF, nobody loses. The taxpayer doesn't lose. The city, the county doesn't lose. Pilots, I don't know how in the world that we have created such a... Now, I understand that people like FedEx, International Paper, ServiceMaster, people like that. But some of these fast-forward pilots they're giving out now and for giving 10 or 20 years of property taxes... for 10 or 12 $12 an hour jobs. It just doesn't work out.
Right. Okay. One other topic is you served for 8 years, I believe, on the employer support of the Guard and Reserve.
Right.
And you traveled all around to military bases.
Right.
What did you see there, and how can we bring this movement into our government, our state, and our area?
Well, the thing about that is we would take civic leaders, business people, and we'd take them on a 3 or 4 day trip. We would carry them to different military bases, maybe put them on a ship. I can remember we went to Bangor Submarine Base, and we put them on the USS Ohio, which is a Trident nuclear submarine. We took them to Kings Bay and put them on the USS Tennessee, which is a Trident nuclear submarine. But what it does, so much of our military now are part-time. They're reserve, right, and guardsmen. So actually, what we're doing is we're taking these civic leaders and political leaders, and we're showing them what these guardsmen and reservists have to go through on their 2 weeks or their month deployment, okay, or whatever, mm-hmm, and show them how important it is that these folks get off from their jobs to do the extra work for our country. You know, I come from a military town. So I was raised by the Navy and the Marine Corps. And they just have a really large place in my heart. Being raised by the military, it'll show you some discipline. I'm going to tell you something I'm really a favorite of. I think that they ought to pass a law that if you're not going to college and you don't have a job, that you ought to spend at least 2 years in the military. So much of our problem now is because of decline in the family, okay? And I think that if some of these folks could make it to the military, it would show some of them discipline. Right. It would teach them about life. And I think that overall our society would be a better place. I just really do.
Well, talking about that, we're almost morphing into Make America Great Again.
Absolutely.
You had something to do with the Trump campaign.
Right.
And what part, he visited Millington.
Right.
And what part did you have in that?
Well, yeah, early on, you know, I signed up as a Trump delegate. And I never will forget when it first came out in the newspaper, all the local media jumped on me with both hands and feet, and because I would support Donald Trump. And, I got in with Miss Elaine Irvin and Darren, our state chairman, yeah. And they asked me, would I take West Tennessee? And I told them yes. Because I'm all over West Tennessee anyway. I'm related to just about everybody everywhere.
Right.
And so I took the job. And it was about a year ago, we were in Washington at our NACO convention. We were going up there to get the money for Regional One, they called me and they said, we got this date. Can you help us? So I called the FedEx form, and was going to charge $50,000, which no problem. But then they wanted to charge $50,000 for the day before, and that was just so security could. I mean, I just couldn't come up with that much money that quick, you know. So I got a hold to Ed Haley, who's the city manager in Millington. And, the north side of the base belongs to the city of Millington. The airport out there mm-hmm. does. Mm-hmm. And we've got this huge building out there, hangar out there, that could hold several thousand people. So I just got a couple of people. And I did this in about 3 days over the telephone. And then when we got back that following week, when we had the rally, we ended up having over 16,000 people show up. So it came off as really good. And let me tell you, the good thing about it, you know, the businessman in me, it was not just bringing Donald Trump to Shelby County, which was good. But you think about my little hometown there in Millington. Right. When I got through, I went around and every hotel was full. Every restaurant was full. Every hamburger joint was full. So the amount of revenue that came in just off that one event was huge for that little town.
Well, Donald Trump's been elected.
Yes, sir.
And what do you think of the job he's done so far? I mean, the news media is going after him, but what do you think?
I think he's done an excellent job. I mean, some people are going to stumble. Look at me. I mean, when I first got elected to the county commission, I was green, you know, but I can tell you this, that the people that are with him, they are with him. I think he's done a wonderful job. I think the Flynn thing was, no pun intended, but
it's FLY in it. Yeah, I'm FLI in it.
Right. But I think that was overblown. And I think that, was created by some leaks from holdovers from the Obama administration. But I think overall he's doing great. Doc, they talk about the illegal immigration. Let me tell you real quick about how it touches us here. I'm not by no means pointing fingers, but there's one instance that's hurting us tremendously in Shelby County. If you see all these folks driving around that's got DeSoto County tags, mm-hmm. the reason why they've got them is because they can go to DeSoto County. You don't have to have proof of insurance. You don't even have to have proof of a driver's license. So they go over there and they get their tags. They live over here. Well, us losing that revenue on that tag is big, but think about this. All the accidents and wrecks that happen, and they don't have insurance, don't have a driver's license, and they don't lock them up.
Okay. A lot of people that meet you say you've got the same personality as Donald Trump. You speak your heart and you don't care where it's going. You're just going to get your opinion out. Has that helped you? Has that hurt you? How do you feel about that? Because you've been praised and you've been attacked for it. What's your opinion?
Well, it shows one thing, that I'm a human. Mm-hmm. And you've known me a long time, Doc. I'm very passionate about the job that I do and the people of Memphis and Shelby County. Let me tell you, sometimes you have to do things to prove a point. Let me bring you back to my first year at the county commission. They surrendered the charter of the school, just completely messed things up. Wouldn't anybody listen to the facts? Okay? Because if they'd have listened to me then, we would not be in the mess we're in now. You know, I told them, I said, you surrender that charter. I said, the first thing that's going to happen, nobody's going to get rich but the lawyers. A lot of people's going to lose their job, and they did. Over 3,000 people lost their job, and the poor kids are the ones that still are left out, okay? But then they tried to put this 23 or 28 member school board together, and that was completely against state law. The local news media was pushing for them, just like the way they're doing Trump now. You know, they were, you know, they wouldn't listen. They were calling me bad names, telling me I didn't know what I was talking about. So I called a press conference, okay? Because right after the press conference was when they voted for that 23 or 28 member school board. And I knew we were going to get sued and was going to cost the county several million dollars, okay? So I called a press conference and I tried to address it, but they didn't want to hear that. And the commercial appeal at the time just kept hammering me. I said, wait a minute. I said, if being popular, I said, I didn't get elected to be popular. I said, I got elected to work. But if being popular means I have to walk lockstep with the commercial appeal, I said, they can kiss my entire rear end. Now, that wasn't dirty, but it was provocative. And it made folks think. Now, think about this, Doc. With all the things that went on with the commercial appeal for years and years and years, how many people in this county wanted to tell the commercial appeal that?
Well, you found out?
Absolutely. And a lot of people have compared me to Donald Trump, but I was doing this way before I ever knew Donald Trump. And it's just common sense.
Well, in the last minute and a half, I'd like for you to go ahead and tell our viewers why you should be the county mayor. I'm going to go into, and I know you probably don't have a summary speech ready, but just from your heart, why should you become the county mayor? And we've got about a minute and a half for you to go ahead and summarize that.
Because I care. Because I care about what happens to this county. I want to bring it back. I want to bring it back to prominence. I want to rival Nashville. I want there not to be a black or white kid out there that needs clothes or food. I want the schools to be good. We can accomplish all this if we pull together. It's not about being suburban anymore. The fight for consolidation's over with. The things we used to fight about are gone. The schools, consolidation. Now it's time to bring it in and come together as one family. Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, it doesn't matter. It's not about race. It's about our area. And it's about making it the absolute best place for people to raise their kids and to get rid of this crime. That's one thing that I'm going to. And Doc, let me say one thing. We've got to stop this heroin overdose. I've been to 3 funerals in the last week. It's this heroin is killing our kids.
Right.
And that's one of the things I want to do too, is get rid of that.
My guest today has been Terry Rowland, County Commissioner and candidate for Shelby County Mayor. And I appreciate you watching. And Terry will be available for questions anytime in his county office. I'm George Flynn. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time.